government would put the request in and ask. And what I have determined by watching the actions of this president is that he is making America unsafe. These are people that are crossing our border illegally. We do not know who they are. Multiple news sources have told us that we have people on the terrorist watch list that are getting into this country this way, and they're not going to find a place here in South Dakota.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
MasterCard has updated requirements that banks must ensure that pornographic websites must document the age and identity of all people depicted in adult content, as well as those who upload the content. Don Hawkins, CEO of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, hailing MasterCard's new rules, saying MasterCard is setting a standard for the entire payment processing industry. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
It's very simple.
We're not done with the rains yet. Chance of showers coming back tomorrow, and it's increasing chances throughout the day. And yet another batch produce possibly some strong storms along with the threat of some heavy rains Friday. But generally improving conditions gradually as we work our way through the weekend. By Sunday, it's mostly dry with some sunshine actually returning. Overnight lows of 60s. Tomorrow, we're back to highs of low to mid-70s with the rain. Some rain again Friday night. Some showers likely on Saturday with highs of 70s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO.
Murphy's Mandeville Gun and Knife Show, with over 250 tables, knives, guns, and ammo. Saturday, April 17th, 9 to 5. Sunday, April 18th, 10 to 4. Adults $10, ages 11 to 15, $5. 10 and under get in free. Good for both days. $2 discount for military and police at Murphy's Mandeville Gun and Knife Show. Knives, guns, and ammo. Saturday, April 17th, Sunday, April 18th at the Castine Center, Mandeville.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
WGSO will be holding an online auction to benefit our 75 for 75 campaign beginning on April 15th and running through May 2nd. There will be tons of great items to bid on, including Saints and LSU memorabilia, trips, and much more. The auction will culminate with a two-day radio-a-thon during the weekend of May 1st and 2nd. For more information on the auction and how you can get involved, go to WGSO.com.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM, streaming live on WGSO.com, and of course on the TuneIn app wherever you choose to find it. And just a heads up, you can go over to WGSO.com and take a sneak peek at the online auction. Some of the items to bid on are already up, and all of the proceeds are going to go to our 75 for 75 campaign. So make sure to head over and check it out. It'll be worth your while. There's some cool stuff there. There's some nice trips, some great memorabilia from the Saints, Drew Brees, LSU, all kinds of cool stuff. So check it out. All right. Of course, no Mike Henson tonight. He is again in Lake Charles. However, Sean and I can hold it down. I'm pretty sure.
Gonna try.
It might not be as entertaining as Tuesday night with the wrestlers.
They are the true performers.
Really, yeah.
Hopefully, maybe we learn something from them.
I'll be honest with you, I'm going to lean on you a little bit on this because I haven't been watching the Pels that much lately.
I missed last night. I know we lost. I saw the highlights, and it's just like, which sucks because just a newsflash for people that don't know, when you watch, let's say you missed the big game, you missed whatever you wanted to watch.
Mm.
All right, you go watch the highlights, the Sports Center, wherever, even the local highlights. Chances are, like last night, it's going to be dominated by Zion dunks and highlights because that's what people want to see.
Sure.
But it's also, it doesn't tell maybe the full story where it's like, hey, the Pelicans lost. You don't get to see maybe, here's why. We're going to tell you what happened, but not necessarily, we're not going to tell you the story, then boom, you know, a lower third or a full screen of, hey, here's the final score.
Well,
the Knicks are scrappy, though.
They are scrappy. Yeah. The final score was 116-106, and the Knicks won. From what I'm looking at in the box scores, it's tough to say because I didn't watch, because I'll be honest with you, I've been watching a lot more hockey and baseball right now. And last night was a big game for the St. Louis Blues, which went down 4-1 to the Avs, and then they clawed their way back and down by a goal and fell just a little
short.
But
Colorado's decent, right? They're good, aren't they?
Aren't they really good? Best team in hockey.
Okay, because I know that for a few people that heard that's like their that was like their Stanley Cup predictions. People were saying, hey, not saying that they might win, but they could go.
Yeah, it was a good game though. Unfortunately, I've been kind of focused on that because we're winding the hockey season down and. The Blues are in a tough spot, but
a lot of people have your attention because you had baseball that's just started. And people might be like, even me, I'm a little bit like I'll casually come in where, but you have some people like I'll check in during after All-Star break, or people they want to hop in right at the moment. Then, like you said, you're still we're in the thick of hockey still, so it's just like, oh man, it's like everything kind of, you really have to, appointment viewing is back.
Yeah, it really is. My house has sports on every single night now, which isn't a bad thing.
It sounds like a BJ sports bar.
It kind of is. Don't tell my wife that.
Yeah.
She
might catch on.
She specifically said that the patio is not to become a sports bar, although there's a television out there.
That's fair. That's fine. You don't, yeah, like, or like, you know, like inside of a Chili's where there's junk all over the walls kind of thing.
yeah, we talked about that, I tried to get vintage beer signs out there, but it didn't fly.
There you go. Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as you don't have, like, you know, the wall mounts for, like, TVs in, like, every corner.
Just one wall mount.
Okay, just one. Okay, yeah.
Just one wall mount, one television, and I've been nervous as hell all week because all these storms.
Oh,
so yeah. I consistently go out and check to make sure the TV works.
Likewise, but more for me, just my fence.
Yeah.
Because I just got replaced from that storm in November.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, this morning she was sitting out drinking her coffee on the patio, and I went out to talk to her before I left to come here. And it just started to rain. She loves to watch the rain, but there was a crash of lightning that was the closest I've ever been to lightning. Ooh. It was so close, you could hear the sizzle. Of the lightning.
Sizzle from where it hit?
It was just
it had to
that.
Be close.
Yeah, it shook the house, and the dog, who is deaf, because he's an old guy, he'll be 14 next Tuesday, but he jumped up and went inside, and we both jumped up and went inside. And
I was about to say, what was the reaction? You were just like, whoa, or it's like, nope, time to go. Like, run.
It was so close that it shook one of the pitchers off the wall in my quote-unquote man cave. Yeah, it was, and the TV, it didn't seem like the power went out, but my big TV in the living room, it was, yeah, and then whenever it came back on, it wasn't catching the internet.
That's fine.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh no, I guess I'll be buying a new TV this weekend.
Oh God. No.
But it came back up, okay. So thank goodness, but yeah, I guess this weekend I'm going to have to get back into basketball mode. And from what I've been seeing, it's been pretty much just Zion's become a point guard.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, you got to get – I'm fine with that a little bit because, like, Brandon Ingram, I feel like sometimes, like, you can't rely on him all the time to get that. And, like, if you're him, it's like, look, if it's like I'm going to go to the hot hand. I think, was it Zion's, like, 33rd straight game with however many, like, 25 or more points. So, I mean, I get that. It's like, especially you're going to go to someone with a hot hand, especially if they're unstoppable.
Right.
And you know, it helps because, like, it does slow down the game a little bit, and it makes that possession count that much more because it's like, hey, they're not stopping him. And if I'm, you know, just kind of going to the honey hole each time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ended the game 10 of 19 from the floor, 0 for 2 from the three-point line, 5 for 8 from the free throw line. He had 8 boards, 7 assists, and 25 points.
He can play small. If you've ever seen him in action, like up close or in person, he's not as big as you think. I'd say he's probably like a smaller Charles Barkley, even. I would go that route.
Yeah, and Charles Barkley wasn't as tall as what they said he was.
Right.
Either.
No, he's a big dude, but I mean, a little bit bigger now. But I mean, it's like, yeah. Yeah. I was working a Saints game, and Zion was right there on the field. Him, Brandon Ingram, all the new guys they got from the Lakers at the time. And you thought he would, you almost, like, not to sound disrespectful, it's like, I thought you were bigger.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey, he plays big, because the thing is, if not, it's, if you don't get out of his way, you're going to get trucked.
Oh, absolutely. Ingram had a decent game. He had 28 points. He's a little lacking from the floor, but he was 9 for 22.
Plus, even with the that new playoff format they got in, that little round robin they got for the lower seeded teams, it's like, we still have a shot. So, I mean, sure. Like, and we are competitive. It just, maybe it just kind of sucks that we're not consistently competitive. And even, like I said, everyone's like, oh, man, the Knicks. Like, my wife, who's from New York, it's like, oh, God, Pelicans lost to the Knicks. I'm like, hold on. Like, yes, but also no.
Right. Well, and you think about it, if the Pels didn't have that bad stretch back in January and early February, you're looking at a different deal altogether.
Yeah, and maybe if we have some experience, like these guys as a team from when we were in the bubble, for the short time we were in the bubble, we're going to have, like, I guess, a similar instance in the playoffs if we get to be in that little group there, that right. special play-in group, then, you know, we could have success, like, and get hot or something.
Sure.
Because what was it? The Suns, they were like that. They went undefeated in the bubble. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think they went too far after that. But, I mean, that is...
Sure.
Yeah, hang your hat on something.
Yeah, and as young as they are, any playoff experience is going to be good experience for these guys.
Right. And then Griffin, too, he's always saying, like, hey, we're not always vying for 7 or 8. We want to be at the top. The goal is to be the top. The goal is to get a championship.
Well, you know, and it's as long as you're making incremental strides,
right.
You know, there's a little bit of time and there's a little bit of leeway.
And to do that after what would be maybe, was it? AD's been gone for what, 2 years? About 2 years.
Yeah.
You get a new coach. You get the number one draft pick again. You get a slew of new people. A new, technically he's GM. He's vice president of basketball operations. But it's just a little wordy, a little mouthy. And so it's just like you get all those new guys, and really you're doing stuff. You're making strides really right away. They're just small, but they're little, you know, baby steps.
Absolutely. Again, you know, I'm still believing that the future's bright for the Pels, and you know, like I said, the more experience, the better. So, let's take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk about the Basketball Hall of Fame and Kobe being inducted. So, we'll be back with more right after this.
Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
Hi, this is Effie Chason with Revolution Realty. I know that buying a home, whether it's your first or fifth time, can be a bit stressful. Let my experience and knowledge make home buying or selling a joyful and memorable experience for years to come. Revolution Realty, now with three locations to serve you. Uptown, Downtown, and Metairie. Go to RealtyRevolutionNola.com or contact us at 504-309-7224. Come on and join the movement.
WGSO, across the Gulf South, a great new way. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumain Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
Well, I first met her, she was 17. All right, we're back with more of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. And there was some news today out of the Basketball Hall of Fame. They announced today that the Hall of Famers scheduled to present the 2020 class of honorees led by Michael Jordan honoring Kobe Bryant. And I think that is probably the best fit I've ever heard so out of any of the inductions.
Game recognizing game.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of, though, is, God, I hope it doesn't end up being another meme.
Oh, yeah, he's like, maybe he wants redemption, yeah. No, when you come in, maybe you're Kobe again, he might put on the waterworks, might come on again.
I'm a little nervous that it will, but, you know, he's always referred to Kobe as like his little brother, and truthfully, probably the closest any player I've seen to being Jordan.
Yeah, since Jordan, yeah.
Talent-wise, drive-wise, the mentality, the attitude, the whole, you know, the whole package, it was pretty darn close.
Yeah, like, and he embraced it too, because like I think once Jordan was gone or we knew he was leaving, it's just like, it was like, because basketball is a little bit different than other sports where it's like you could have one guy take over a team and really like push them to the championship and everything. Like LeBron does that, Kobe's done that, and then he embraced it more than anybody. He was like, no, guys, like, I'm right here. Like, and like, didn't try. That's why you wore 24 for a while. He's like, 23 plus, you know, I'm one better, that kind of thing.
Right.
But it's just like, hey, it's like, it's because it's funny. It's like, even when we talk about like somebody being like, it's almost like we almost skip the Jordan Kobe argument and go straight to Jordan LeBron.
Yeah.
And it's like, you pass somebody up. I don't know why, just maybe because how he came in, even though LeBron kind of came in a similar situation as Kobe, you know, not straight out of high school, but they won right away. He got some help. They were all right. But then they got Shaq and they just blew up.
Right.
So I mean,
I think too. Whenever Kobe came into the league, there was a little bit of a hangover still from Jordan being gone, and that void was certainly there of who's the guy.
Because that's when also I think like everyone had a shoe too.
Yeah, everyone had a shoe. Because you think, like, who was the top-tier players when, you know, after Jordan retired? And Kobe was a rookie whenever Jordan retired from the Bulls.
You're talking like Allen Iverson.
Iverson was there. Was Reggie Miller still playing? I think Reggie was still playing.
Reggie was still playing, but Reggie was never really that frontline face of the
lost,
NBA.
Right, he got lost a little bit. Just, I don't know if it's just because he was with the Pacers, mm-hmm. but Shaq was still there.
Shaq was a big name.
And then I think Chuck was still playing too, but he was bouncing around.
Yeah, he was at the tail end of his career.
Guys that were still playing, they were like Scottie Pippen was over in Portland. Barkley's Rockets. And then he went somewhere else after, I thought.
Pippen went to the Rockets.
That's right. They went and they tried to make something happen. Yeah.
Yeah. It just wasn't the deal. But you know, I think that was part of it. Whenever Kobe, you know, whenever he first got a start, where LeBron came in though, with so much hype. You know, coming out of, granted, Kobe came out of high school too, but Kobe wasn't a starter when he came out of high school.
No, it's just kind of like he was going to Charlotte and originally LeBron, like his high school games were on ESPN.
Yeah.
And everything. I don't think that Kobe wasn't that. Maybe really not for ESPN at the time or anybody, but
no.
Instead of your high school game on national TV or cable TV.
Well, and there that shows it too, because you know, when Kobe's in high school, Jordan and the Bulls are dominating the NBA, so that's where the focus
you
is.
The limelight, as much as you probably deserved it even at that time, it was just like, you know, when you had CNN covering Jordan and the Bulls.
Yeah. But then, you know, there's that lapse, and then LeBron's in high school, and they're craving, they're trying to find that star to be the face of the NBA, and LeBron is LeBron, and we all know how good he is. Yada yada yada. I don't ever believe I would mention him in the same breath as Jordan, but Kobe, I don't think was better than Jordan. But if there's 1A and 2,
yeah, one A, yeah,
it's probably that. It's a lot closer there.
I think he'd be happy if you told him that. Like he was in the room, he'd be like, I think it's like, hey, it's kind of like. Prize fighters, like I went toe to toe and I held my own. I didn't lose. I held my own.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got one less ring, I think. So I mean, but he's got similar, you know, when it comes to points, style of play. If he really wanted to, he could play defense. He's got a gold medal. Rings.
The only thing he lacked would be a national title like Jordan had with the Heels.
Right. Yeah. And Jordan wasn't even the best player on that team.
No, that was you know, you're talking James Worthy and Sam
James
Perkins.
Worthy. Right. And wasn't Robert Horry a Tar Heel too?
He might have been, but that was after.
Was it after or before Jordan?
Jordan graduated in 84, I think. I'm pretty sure Robert Horry came after, because the big three was Sam Perkins, James Worthy, and Jordan. But you know, and also Jordan's going to also induct Baylor's women's coach Kim Mulkey, making him the only Hall of Fame presenting multiple candidates during this year's induction ceremony.
I don't know if he's just kind of given this. Social climate, but he's more like he's speaking for people. He's being where before it's like he would still be. I don't think he's like not says that he's losing his competitive edge, but he's like recognizing greatness other than outside of himself. And like I'm sure he'll sit there and he could say, "Hey, Shaq's great," or he may not say Charles great just because it's Charles.
Well, and they're on the outs now, even though they were best friends.
Still, I thought they were good. I thought they were cool now.
I think they're okay, but I don't think they're anything where they used to be. So. You know, it'll be interesting, and I think everybody will tune in. So let's go ahead, and we'll take a break, and we'll come back with more of the Something to Say radio show right after this.
Brian Diaz with the NOLA Drink Show. Join me as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Mondays from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WGSO. Exclusive content at NOLADrinks.com. Cheers, y'all.
Maybe your portfolio resemble your dinner, slowly cultivated, locally produced, and sustainable.
Join us at 5 p.m. Mondays for the Slow Money Show, WGSO 990.
More and more Americans are listening on American ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
Hey, this is Kevin Love from the Cleveland Cavaliers. At times, life can feel scary.
and we can get overwhelmed by anxiety. Mindfulness can help you get through these tough times. My nonprofit is partnering with Headspace to offer free content to help you stress less. It's as easy to do as this. Take a big, deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. In and out. Head to kevinlovefund.org/headspace and be kind to your mind.
Over the last 75 years, New Orleans has gone through many changes, and so has WGSO. From our early beginnings in 1946, broadcasting from the Jung Hotel, being home to Papa Stappa in the 1950s, being a music station, talking biz radio to speakeasy New Orleans style, you, our loyal listeners, have been here every step of the way with WGSO. It's now our 75th anniversary, and we are so proud to have you here with us to celebrate. So we're going to celebrate all year long to show our gratitude to you and make 2021 our most successful year yet. And we will also continue to bring programs that appeal to people of all backgrounds. So from all of us at WGSO, we want to say thank you for making us the community voice of the Crescent City.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Brooke Thorington. Crews are continuing their search for 12 workers who were aboard a lift boat that capsized in the Gulf of Mexico just south of Port Fouchon Tuesday. Coast Guard Petty Officer 3rd Class Carlos Gazarla says a dive team has been brought in and air and surface assets are also being used in the search, which is expected to continue for the time being.
Based upon the facts that we currently have, there's not an estimated time for how long the search will continue, but as of right now, it is still ongoing.
LSU says the body found in the Mississippi River in St. John the Baptist Parish on Tuesday is that of missing student Corey Gaucher of Opelousas. The 19-year-old disappeared on April 7th, and her car was found on top of the Mississippi River Bridge in Baton Rouge. Her uncle, Spencer Gaucher, posted a video on social media.
Praying for my family, it is greatly appreciated. What I would like to say, if you guys are ever in need for anything, note, I'll be there to help out.
LRN.
It's official.
The FDA-authorized two-dose vaccine for COVID-19
is becoming available to more and more residents in Louisiana. There's no cost.
And anyone can get the vaccine, regardless of insurance.
So if you want to protect your family, see the economy bounce back,
and just get life back to normal,
join the rest of Louisiana and go sleeves up to help end the pandemic.
Get the facts at covidvaccine.la.gov or call 211.
Don't just work on your property, enjoy it. Right now at Sunshine, we have low monthly payment options on our John Deere 1025R tractor package and gators, with payments starting as low as $150 on gators and $199 for the 1025R tractor package. Now's the time to get powered by Sunshine. Learn about our extended warranty options and apply for financing online at sunequip.com. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details. Offer ends May 3rd, 2021.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
When you think of a hotel, you think of someplace you stay when you are away from home. But here in New Orleans, there is a hotel you will want your out-of-town guests to stay at, and you will want to do a staycation there. And the name is Park View Historic Hotel. They are on St. Charles Avenue, overlooking the streetcar line and Audubon Park. Great views on all sides of the Park View Historic Hotel. A historic home with antiques from days gone by with a beautiful history will make any stay at the Park View Historic Hotel a unique experience.
Serving the Gulf South from New Orleans. WGSO, New Orleans News Radio. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Looking to make a difference in your community this year?
Let New Orleans Habitat help. Volunteering with New Orleans Habitat is easy and satisfying. Help build a house, spruce up a block, or spend an afternoon selling gently used furniture, appliances, and more in our two restore locations. Research shows that when you volunteer, it increases your happiness. So come on, get happy and volunteer with New Orleans Habitat. Visit habitat-nola.org to learn more.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show, and today's a big day in baseball. It's the annual Jackie Robinson Day, and everybody will be wearing number 42. Even the umpires will be wearing number 42 to honor Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier and becoming a Major League Baseball player. And you know, it was kind of unofficial last year. I don't know if they're going to do it like they did, you know, like with Roberto Clemente. I think a few players wore 21, but I don't think it was across the board like it is for Jackie Robinson.
No, yeah. For some of those guys, I mean, and because Clemente, he's got that award named after him, mm-hmm. too. And that's a big deal for a lot of the players. They, like, I don't want to say, like, Jackie Robinson Day like has lost kind of its meaning a little bit. I would hope not. Just some of that thing where it's like, hey, I get to wear that special number that people mm-hmm. always recognize and right. for like generations recognize, and it's like the one time I get to wear kind of thing. So I would hope not, but it feels like it, maybe today it's missing a little bit of that fanfare.
Yeah, according to MLB.com, the on-field visuals will be of course, like what we said, players, managers, coaches, umpires, and all on-field personnel will once again wear Robinson's number. The 42 logo will appear on uniform sleeves, while team-specific uniform front font and colors will be featured as a patch on new era caps. MLB will donate all license royalties from the sales of the caps to the Jackie Robinson Foundation. The Player Alliance batting practice tee, special batting practice T-shirts, which have been designed by the Players Alliance and provided by Nike, will be worn by players prior to the game. And those shirts will not be sold at retail, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because normally it's kind of a cash grab with stuff like that.
Right. I guess maybe insane because they only want so much. I don't know if it's like you said, to his foundation, or is it something maybe just more special, I guess, for the players themselves, or...
Yep, and there's fan and youth engagement. Thank you, Jackie. MLB Network has produced a special video titled Thank You, Jackie, that will be played in all ballparks on Jackie Robinson Day on both today and tomorrow, because Thursday is usually kind of an off day because of travel and things like that. Mm-hmm. So displaying brief glimpses of the impact he made both as an iconic athlete and champion of social and racial equality. The video is narrated by former All-Star outfielder and president of the Players Alliance, Curtis Granderson. Jackie Robinson challenged by EFFRFI. As part of the MLB Summer Slugger program, clubs can customize a Jackie Robinson challenge that students can complete as a supplement to the 72-game course. They're also challenging younger students to visit MLB.com. And become more familiar with Jackie's life and legacy through printable educational activities. That's pretty cool.
Get into the ballpark.
Yeah.
They need to do.
Well, I agree with you there.
They did that back then. It was funny. Showing his age, but my father-in-law, he's a little bit he's older. He said when he was growing up, it's like if you had your student ID or if you went to a public public school, grew up in New York City, you got to go to the ballpark.
Wow.
Whenever you wanted. Yeah, so he said it was great. You would go, you could kind of, I don't know if admit maybe just a particular one, whether it's, I think he might have been that old. I think he could even have gone to Giants games, like New York Giants. No.
Oh.
No, he's not. No, I think most times there's Yankees games. Mm. But, yeah, like you go to the ballpark. There was that incentive, and like they don't have that stuff anymore.
No, they didn't have that whenever I was growing up to go to Cardinal games.
No. Even if it was something for, like, if I was younger, it's like something like that. If it was still, you know, damn baby cakes or Zephyrs out here, I would have gone.
Yeah, they would do. I mean, they would do like special nights where you could get like discounted tickets and things like that. But it was never for free. The only time we got to go to the ball game for free was when I played in high school and we played at the Old Busch Stadium.
Okay,
so
that's cool.
Yeah, we still had to sell tickets. Mm-hmm.
Like a fundraiser thing, kind
of. Yeah, I mean, we got the honor of playing, but we also had, you know, like part of the deal was that we sold tickets to our parents and thing and friends.
Right.
And stuff.
And I remember they talked about. I remember when I was, I think, a senior in high school. They were opening up to the idea of letting high school football teams play in the dome, and then it kind of got axed. And I think they may have brought it back since Katrina. But I'm, you know. They still do that again. I don't know why. I just said that'd be something just even to play there, even it's like Yeoman, wherever.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of the great experiences of me playing baseball whenever I was a kid was being able to play at a Major League Baseball ballpark. And, you know, also, you know, our high school got to play at the old St. Louis Arena where the Blues used to play. But during the Coca-Cola shootout, but all those things, man, those are memorable experiences.
Like, you don't forget, like, you're just talking about, like how we're just talking, like, we're able to pull that out of our brain right away. Yeah.
And I can tell you, playing on AstroTurf at the old Busch Stadium, I played first base, and it was like
that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It was cool, like, and you play a lot deeper.
Right. And, like, even if, like, you know, it's like, yeah, granted, it may not have been a packed house, but who cares? You're in that same building as all these other greats that do on a regular that would on a regular basis.
Yeah, and unfortunately we had to use the visitors' locker room, and I'll never forget how crappy it was.
Really,
like our high school locker room was way nicer than what the visitors' locker room was at Busch Stadium. But you know, we were kids, and so you know, you're out at the warning track, like when we're warming up and acting like we're stealing home runs.
Big leaguers,
you know, it's a great experience. And I know my little brother, he got to do the same thing, but he got to play at the new Busch Stadium. So, and we had to play early in the morning on like a Saturday, way like before a Saturday night game. We played at like 10 o'clock in the morning.
To tell you stuff like, hey, don't tear up the field or anything like that.
Well, there was, again, it was DastroTurf back then.
Oh,
so what they did now, or whenever my little brother was in high school, was they got to play after a day game, typically during the week or, you know, on a Saturday after a day game. But still, I mean, there's plenty of people that were at the Cardinal game that would just stick around to watch more baseball, you know?
Yeah, you have people that do that. I know plenty of people that, like, retired, have some former, like, coaches and teachers. It's like, that. What do they do now? It's like, they retired. They would just go to Zephyr Stadium. But, like, they just, like, yeah, I'll just go. Just yeah, that's all I do. Nothing. Mm-hmm. Just have nothing to do and just do that. Hell.
Well, I remember reading an article a few years ago. It was right after Stan Musial passed away. But there was all kinds of stuff, obviously, in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about honoring him. But there was one guy who was a Little League coach, and he used to always see this older man just sitting off to him by himself watching the kids play baseball. And, you know, he'd come all the time, whether it was practice or whatever, at that particular field. Mm-hmm. And so finally, the guy walked over, and the guy had a ball cap on, and you know, kind of pulled down just a little bit, and come to find out, it was Stan Musial, and he just liked to go watch little
like
the kids play
ball. Like
just
hear all that stuff, like you hear like whether you know the ball meeting the glove, the ball hitting the bat, that kind of thing. That just that ruckus. That I know it sounds like kind of like innocent or just kind of like hey, what the hell? But it's like they love this thing so much, and it's. And I feel like if people would invest more into the youth stuff, maybe you'll see that tenfold in the sport. That's where you get it. That's where the impact, the investment is. That's where it starts.
Well, and that's something too that I think that's where it's really important for organizations like the Boys and Girls Club in the communities to do, I think, a little bit more. Because I know it was big, you know, whenever I was a kid, I was at the Boys and Girls Club every night playing basketball. And I would play baseball through the Boys and Girls Club. But I don't see them as much. They're not as much in focus as what they used to
be. A lot of the stuff turned into those, like, travel teams.
And right.
Where your parents have to invest kind of, like, quite a good bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it needs to almost be the other way around. Because if not, it kind of turned into, like a business or a chore where it's like, hey, you know, like, why don't you do all this? Or why, like, if the kid doesn't want to play, it's like, why don't you want to play? I spent all this money or all that stuff.
Yeah, because it turns into, you know, like eating Brussels sprouts for
kids. It turned the game into not a game.
Well, and that was something that, you know, my grandfather always told me. Like, I had opportunities to play traveling teams and things like that. I typically didn't. I'd play on some all-star teams and things like that, but I wouldn't go do the Legion teams or anything like that.
Yeah, some of the people, like, they someday – kind of like your pro athletes that are the guys and gals that do become pro, it's like they can't get enough and they play year round.
Mm-hmm.
And where some of us, whether maybe you or me, where it's like, I kind of like, I want my summer, or I kind of want to have a bit of a life. No offense to the guys that do go train travel.
Sure. Well, and what my grandfather always told me is if you're good, you're good no matter where it is, and people will find you.
That too, yeah.
So I thought that was a really valid point, because it wasn't like any of those guys that were on those Legion teams that I ever played with,
right,
they ever made to the major leagues.
Exactly, and you have players and coaches that are being like, look, hey, after a certain time, like I'm more than just a football coach. I'm a husband, father, whatever.
Sure.
Like I love this sport, but I don't live, eat, breathe it. Where I don't let it consume my life. A little bit,
right?
Like, I think Chuck Knoll was like that, and for the Steelers, the great Steelers coach who won all those Super Bowls, he was like, at end of the day, it's like, hey, 5 o'clock, time to go home. Or I think the Buccaneers coach, he's like that too.
Yeah. Well, there was a good thing I read about from Buck Showalter a few years ago, and he was talking about like the guys that are pitchers in major leagues now. It has to stop with these kids that are pitchers in high school. He's like, those kids, their arms are going to be done before they even get to sniff
the league. Yeah.
You know, that's a prime example. I had a coach when I was a sophomore in high school, and I could throw 92 as a sophomore.
Wow.
And he had this old school philosophy that if you're a pitcher, you should throw every single day. Pitch every single day. Not with the 14, 15-year-old kid.
Yeah, no.
I was 14, and by the time I got to be a senior, I couldn't pitch anymore. I could hardly take a round of infield.
Right, it sucks like for some of that stuff. And I don't think this is not you like reliving glory days here. It's
no.
Like you just hear these things, and it's tough because like it's like you're just we're getting bad advice from adults.
Absolutely.
And that it's the kind of that thing where it's like, you got to protect them and harness that stuff so they can have that talent. Because you have pitchers now where it's like, feast or famine, just like you do for batters at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
That hey, you got that great pitch that apparently you can strike them out. That's great. Instead of like where you're actually pitching to them, working a count where it's
right.
Like so. Because I just need to get the guy to swing and maybe
yep.
swing. If not, get him looking, and that's all I need.
Absolutely, have good control, mm-hmm. and don't let kids start throwing breaking balls too early.
Right.
I never really threw very many breaking balls, but I could, you know, I threw hard and I could overpower, and that's really all you needed, you mm-hmm. know, back then.
Just throw hard. It didn't have to be. I don't need you at 95 all the time.
No.
Yeah.
You throw hard and have good control, and that's all kids need. They don't need to be throwing junk whenever they're 10 years old and learning a curveball.
No.
You're gonna
maybe practice some things where it's time to like, you know, pick up a ball and really do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and we'll do some Florida Man. So we'll be back with more.
Come to light. Whatsoever I fought on, came out.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Welcome back to the Louisiana Jones Gumbo Hour. I'm your host, founder, and owner of the TLG HL3C. I'm very excited about having the opportunity once again to have a positive and thought-provoking dialogue with you as we inform and educate each other on various topics or gumbo ingredients in the business, academic, alumni, workforce, youth, and of course the sporting arena. I will be here every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. providing informative nuggets for you and yours. Please call in with your questions or add your bowl of gumbo at 504-556-9696. So that we can add to today's pot of gumbo.
WGSO 990 AM has recently become recognized as an official 501c3 nonprofit organization capable of accepting tax-deductible donations. So, in commemoration of our 75th anniversary, the station is launching a 75 for 75 campaign with the goal of raising $75,000 in 2021. The funds that are raised will be dedicated to help the station fulfill our broadcast mission and satisfy any equipment needs that arise. These donations are especially important because, unlike most radio stations in New Orleans, WGSO is independent, locally owned and operated, and not part of a national broadcasting conglomerate. To donate, go to WGSO.com and click on the Donate button on the front page. Help us to continue to be the community voice of the Crescent City.
In baseball, these are the moments that bring us to our feet.
But the most important moment happens when we all stand together.
United for a great cause.
We once again join our partners Stand Up to Cancer in reaffirming a commitment to the fight against cancer. Since 2008, Major League Baseball, its fans, players, and coaches have delivered a powerful, determined message that we, together, will defeat cancer.
I'm Matt Damon.
I'm Candace Patton.
Joe Manganiello.
Jordana Brewster.
Zachary Levi.
I'm Uzo Aduba.
Cancer has in some way touched all of us.
So join Major League Baseball and Stand Up to Cancer as we stand in honor of all loved ones affected by this disease.
Visit standuptocancer.org/MLB.
Stand up with us.
Welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and, of course, streaming live on WGSO.com. Well, we haven't done it in a while, not live, so I guess we ought to take our trip to Florida.
Down to Florida, we welcome you to the Sunshine State. They're kicking back and soaking up the rays every day in Florida.
All right. So this one is interesting, and the mugshot of the guy is even more interesting because it looks like he's got the barber's apron on, like when you go get your hair cut.
Yeah.
But what he did was awful, but what he did to try to hide the evidence was just stupid. Just much like many of the stories that we tell here.
What, go figure. Yeah, Florida man.
So this comes from Fox 35 out of Orlando. And this says, the headline reads, Florida man urinates on self to wash away the evidence of sexual assault on a teen.
Oh.
Yeah. This comes from Indian River, Florida. Deputies said that a Florida man who was arrested after having sex with a minor tried to wash away the evidence of it by urinating on himself. The Indian River County Sheriff's Office said that the 33-year-old Miami man was arrested after urinating on himself and then using a cup of water to try to wash away evidence of sexual relations with a 13-year-old girl. Gross.
Yeah.
That he'd picked up over the weekend. They said the man, who had identified as Carlos Lagos, was arrested after he dropped the girl off near her home. He was told upon his arrest that he would be subject to a body search and that swabs from his body would be taken. This is when he reportedly tried to wash away any remaining evidence. He drove the girl to McDonald's near Interstate 95 and County Road 512 to get food. Then they drove to the racetrack gas station parking lot where they parked. The girl told investigators that's where he sexually assaulted her. The sheriff's office said on Facebook, when he was done, he asked her if she wanted to be pregnant. When she said no, they drove to an area Walgreens where he bought Plan B, an emergency contraception pill, and she took it. They said that Lagos then drove the girl to an area near her home during the drive. She texted her sister and said she was scared. She described Lagos' vehicle that led law enforcement to him. What a sick individual.
Yeah, it's just, I know a lot of times with these stories we can have a good time and a good laugh, but this one.
No, this guy deserves to be put underneath the prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, awful. All right, let's move on from that. So this one's just interesting, and maybe you can explain how this happens. The headline reads, this comes from Miami, Florida man with no arms was charged with stabbing a Chicago tourist.
With his feet? What do they call that when you're not ambidextrous, but it's like the word when you can use your feet as your hands kind of thing.
I don't know.
I think there's a term for it, not unless he just had it in his mouth and it was like kind of like bobbing.
I don't know.
With his head back and forth.
Well, here's the story. A homeless Florida man with no arms has been charged with stabbing a Chicago tourist. Miami Beach police say 46-year-old Jonathan Crenshaw held a pair of scissors with his feet. There you
go.
And stabbed 22-year-old Cesar Coronado just after midnight on Tuesday. The Miami Herald reports that Crenshaw is a popular fixture in the area, known for painting canvases along a trendy spot in South Beach. According to the arrest report, Crenshaw says he was lying down when Coronado approached him and kicked him in the head. Police say Crenshaw stabbed Coronado twice and fled the scene. A friend who was traveling with Coronado said they asked Crenshaw for directions when he suddenly jumped up and stabbed Coronado in his arm, and he was taken to the hospital. Crenshaw has been charged with aggravated battery.
But the injury couldn't be that bad, because that means he's hopping on one leg as he's holding the scissors in
the other foot.
I was just like, what?
I agree. It's perplexing,
and it sucks that like you said, he's a popular fixture. So it's like, hey, who did it? Like that guy right there, not the one-armed man, but the no-armed man,
right? The one-armed man did it.
Yeah,
the no-armed man did it.
What's that Harrison Ford movie? The Fugitive, right?
The Fugitive. Yeah. Yep. All right, so let's see here. We're going to stay in South Florida, and the headline reads, Florida man accused of attacking mom when she wouldn't dress his mannequin.
Oh boy.
A 40-year-old South Florida man is accused of attacking his mother after she refused to dress his mannequin. Michael Dankner was arrested by Boynton Beach police and charged with aggravated battery on a victim over 65 years old and domestic battery by strangulation, the television station reported. Monday night, police responded to a call from a neighbor who said the 73-year-old woman was bleeding from her face and was being chased by her son. The victim told police she was in the backyard of her home when Deckner asked her to dress as mannequin, the television station reported. When the woman refused, he allegedly blocked her path into the house. The victim pushed the mannequin down on the ground and ran inside the house. According to the police, Deckner grabbed his mannequin, followed his mother inside, where he pushed her to the ground. The victim told police Dankner hit her several times in the head with a wooden stool and stuffed dumplings into her mouth, causing her to have difficulty breathing. The victim was taken to an area hospital where she required stitches.
Oh, my God. My new thought now with some of these stories is like I'm thinking of like Will Smith's song, like I'm going to Miami, and it's like, why?
Yeah, there's
no
reason
to. Is he rethinking this too? I hope so, Will Smith.
I hope so too. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us. We'll be back tomorrow night with more of the Something to Say radio show. Mike will be back. And until then, we'll just play Gloria.
For more Something to Say radio show content, go to somethingtosayradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at @S2S Radio Show. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/somethingtosayradio.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
Brought to you by the St. Rock Market, a local food hall featuring 12 unique food and beverage entrepreneurs serving globally inspired meals from barbecue platters to Mediterranean cuisine. Located at 2381 St. Claude Avenue, the St. Rock Market is open every day of the week for breakfast, lunch, dinner, coffee, and cocktails. We offer online ordering, curbside pickup, and both indoor and patio dining. Learn more at strockmarket.com.
Brian Diaz here, host of the NOLA Drink Show. Join us every Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on WGSO, 990 AM, New Orleans, Louisiana.
He Said, She Said is now moving to a new time, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on WGSO.
Check out the He Said, She Said Facebook page where you can watch us live.
Also on the TuneIn Radio app on 990 AM and, of course, WGSO.com.
We're excited to be on Drive Time where we'll continue to discuss our local and national issues.
So join us for lively banter, interesting topics, great guests, and your phone calls.
That's He Said, She Said, Mondays at 5 p.m.
Tim McNally, host of the Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM every weekday from 4 until 5 on WGSO 990 AM. This is where we started. This is our home. We're going to bring you news of the wine world, interviews with winemakers. We're going to talk to people who know something about wine. We hope you'll join us. The Dine, Wine, and Spirit Show on WGSO 990 AM every weekday from 4 until 5 from the heart of the Crescent City.
Brian Diaz here, host of the NOLA Drink Show. Join us every Friday from 7 to 8.
Welcome.